stretch out, that your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes, and tell me if you take my place. Under the cover of my skin,
welcome to the Inside Running Podcast, Shoe Geeks episode, I don't even know what number, but June 2021. So I'm joined here by two guys who currently aren't working at the moment. Julian's always working, but how are you going, Julian, over in Noosa still, I believe?
Yeah, mate, up in Noosa. Always working, actually, when you own a business. Both of you would know this. When you work, when you own a business, you're always on 24/7. So just working from home, I guess we'd say, and home at the moment is Noosa while we get ready for Ali's Olympic marathon.
That's it. Then you'd be back doing a bit more running now as well, which is good. And not quite as much as running as Tommy, who's sitting over in, I believe, a hotel room or Airbnb in Cairns at the moment. Is that right?
Hostel room, yeah, that's right. I'm in Cairns.
It does look like a hostel room, mate.
Hostel? What the? Tom, come on, mate. Hostels.
Yeah. Actually, Cairns had, like, hardly any accommodation left. School holidays, I think. But, no, it's all right. It serves the purpose. I got my own little cubicle here. So it's not a dorm.
Do you want to tell us a bit about that? Like, you had a pretty abrupt exit out of New South Wales a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a week ago, and the plan was always to go away before Gold Coast Marathon. And how'd you get there?
Yeah, I was going to come up here on the 22nd, but when things started to look a bit shady with cases of COVID in New South Wales and potential closures with the borders, my wife Lana shipped me off early. She's like, nah, just she wanted me to race, and she was happy for me to leave her and the kids a little bit sooner. So, yeah, I jumped up here a bit earlier, and I spent a few nights on Gold Coast, and then, just came up here just for – there was some others training up here. So Philo and Michael Roger and Jared Clifford, and also the group from Perth, front runner group, so Nick Harmon, who's doing the half marathon. So a good group of guys to train with up here and get a bit of heat before the race.
I thought Nick was doing the full marathon.
No, he's doing the half.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's planning on doing a marathon possibly later in the year.
Yeah. How's the training going?
Yeah, good. I can't complain. I'm getting the recovery, so the training seems pretty manageable at the moment. It's almost hard because, you know, we're coming into the taper now that want to do more than I probably should. I got the time, and so I just got to try and hold myself back, to be honest.
So what are you doing with the extra time, Tommy?
What's that?
What are you doing with the extra time?
Yeah, work stuff, mate. So
fair enough.
Business. Hold on a sec. business stuff. A little bit of telehealth stuff, website stuff, sort of stuff. Yeah,
very good. So, you go.
You've been running a bit more, Nida?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back about 60 k's a week at the moment, and I've been back for about maybe 6 weeks. And that's moderate volume for me, to be honest. Like, my high volume is getting out to 90 to 110, so I'm 3/4 of the way there, and I'm pretty well pain free. And I've rotated between so many different shoes. In 60 Ks per week, you think that'd be, you know, two shoes worth. But I have gone through a lot of new shoes that I need to talk about today. So
get into it then. That's have a good crack.
Well, first of all, I've just in terms of most of my work's been easy running, but I've actually had a couple of performance shoes. And the one thing I'll say is when you review shoes, you have to wear them for their purpose. Like, when I was sore and niggly, like I was only jogging in return, and I was wearing a few super shoes for return. Like, I had like the Meta Speed Sky I was wearing for jogging. And you just can't, you can't assess a shoe, like a fast shoe for jogging. It just doesn't work that way. So I've had a couple of sessions in a couple of good shoes, and I'll start with the volume shoes, and I've actually got a sample through here as well. So this is the new Kayano 28, which, Julian, you might be able to tell me, it may be released. I'm not sure.
No, not yet. It's very soon, though, July release for this one.
Yeah, so you can see
we've been waiting on it for a while.
They still stick with the Duo Max, but it's really it's a much more compliant foam on the medial side. It's a relatively full contact zoned outsole. It's pretty flexible through the forefoot. They use their forefoot blast. And this shoe, I mean, I haven't worn the Kayano for so long because it's supposed to be a bit of an irrelevant shoe for me personally. And I think while it sells probably 70% of ASICS sales in the running field, this shoe has become quite soft in the forefoot and still relatively soft in the rear foot as well. A bit weighty. It still has a traditional ASICS feel, but it's not firm and it makes no noise on the ground. And I think because it's got no external trussics, it's all built in within the midsole. You can sort of see on the medial side, you've got a little bit of like softer plastic in the medial column. But so this has been actually a relatively enjoyable shoe. And I know my colleague here, Maddie Clark, has been running pretty well. He's been wearing this for a lot of his jogging at the moment. And he's a very forefoot orientated runner. So I reckon he said it's probably going to wear a bit quicker than the average Kayano would historically, being a bit softer. But with, you know, that's the compromise. You put a softer shoe on your foot, it's going to wear quicker. I mean, I think it's a small price to pay for a bit more enjoyable run. So,
Nita, just explain why the old Kayanos weren't relevant for you.
You know, when I mean, I still don't jog fast. I jog between 4:30 and 5 minute K pace, and you know, mixed between dirt and pavement. I put a Kayano on, and it sort of weighed about 310 grams. It was relatively firm underfoot. It was quite a, I don't know how to say it. It was bottom heavy. It was quite a clunky shoe on my foot, and it wasn't enjoyable to run in. I don't even know how else to say it. It hit the ground, it made an ordinary noise. It didn't return any enjoyment to me whatsoever. And I think it was just because the foams were quite firm, they were quite old EVA, very traditional. But I never liked them. I never liked them even when I was like, you know, 14, 15, 16, when I had pairs of them in the GT2000. So whereas this is the first time I put on a shoe and it feels like the foams have been more in their enjoyable shoes. So like, you know, the Nova Blast, for example, it's not as much foam, but it still feels a bit more enjoyable like that. So, just not a mileage shoe that I've ever been interested in. And obviously they sell really well. Otherwise they wouldn't be made in bulk like they are. But I don't know if you guys have been wearing, you probably when you first started, Julian, you started off playing footy, so you probably wore the Kayano as a normal shoe. So.
Absolutely, mate. I went to the Athlete's Foot and they told me that I needed a $200 shoe. I looked at the wall and saw that the Kayano was $260 and I said, surely that one's better. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, let's try that one. And I put it on and then I was like, yeah, this feels more expensive. It must be better. And then I looked up at the Gel Kinsai. And I'm like, that one's $20 more. Can I have that one instead? That one must be better.
I had a State League netballer come in the other day, a lovely lady, and she went with the Gel Quantum.
Oh, Quantum, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The Quantum's the one that has, like, you know, the keen, so I had all the gel and just the rear.
Yeah, yeah.
It went, the Quantum goes all the way through the midsole, so.
Kinsai was about 600 grams each shoe, I reckon. But it's funny. I think people might listen to this podcast and hear us all talking about the new update, feels nicer, feels better, smoother, all these things. And I think if we did this podcast 5 years ago, we actually wouldn't be saying, like, we wouldn't be having as much good feedback, especially around the ASICS range where the update was like, one seam here, a little bit of stitching there. Now they're actually turning their range on their head, which is why there's so much like positivity from our reviews on these shoes because they are like very much changing things.
And while I'm at it, like this is the sample shoe that they sent me through ASICS for the clinic here, and this is the new GT2000, the 10th version. You can see the color coding; it's softer forefoot through here. It hasn't got the forefoot blast, but it uses the flight foam through the whole forefoot. This is a shoe that has a great contact area on the bottom now. They've removed the Duo Max in the medial column. They use this little system called It's called like Light Trust, and there's no plastic within this shoe. I mean, it will go into a question later on and talk about orthoses and fitting them into shoes, but this almost has the platform of like a, you know, an 880 or a Dose for Mind as well, and it's a really stable looking shoe, but it's fun under the forefoot. So these two shoes are the ones I tend to have gravitated away from the past couple of years. And funnily enough, that in 2021, they've probably been the best two updates, I think, in their normal range.
Yeah. Mm. I reckon for me, from looking, without actually trying them on, they look like one big change is that removal of the plastic, or at least the exposed plastic. So in the Kayano, still having a bit of that shank in there, but being covered by the foam. So you're not actually, because I had a lot of runners come in, particularly like midfoot, sort of forefoot striking runners that, you can see the plastic just being shredded even well before the outsole was sort of worn through. So that, I think that feeling for me of like clunkiness probably came a lot from that plastic, exposed plastic shank that just made it, stiff and slappy.
Absolutely. And dare I say, historically, Mizuno have done something similar as well. I haven't worn their new range for a while, so... it just has been a nice update from their shoe, and just to keep on the ASICs as well, like I received the new Nerva Blast 2, and I think both you guys might have tried it. Definitely Tommy, you've tried it, and I'm not sure if we chatted about it last time, but I haven't got the sample here, so I'm hoping. Oh, actually, you don't have it either, Tommy, do you? So but essentially it's not as soft as the previous version. It uses the same foam as the Nerva Blast 1, but the design of the midsole, what they've done is they've essentially, where it should be, it's hard to get the camera right, isn't it? Where it should be sort of concave in the medial part of the column, so the foam does compress side to side or from top to bottom. They've filled it in, so it's much more foam on the lateral and the medial column where the concaves were. So it feels firmer to me. It still feels soft under forefoot, but I think maybe... it was a really unique shoe, the Nerva Blast 1, and I really enjoyed it for a change, especially for easy days and even picking the pace up. But this feels a little bit more stable, which I think, I guess you would argue, works for more of the population. And it runs off 8mm drop, not 10. Everyone knows my opinion on pitch. I like to have a high pitch in a shoe. So, but it feels a bit firmer. So I think while the shoe's not a dramatic change, it's probably become a little bit less enjoyable for me personally, but might work for more of the population.
I'd agree with that. Like, I think personally, I don't like the update as much because it's sort of closer to the other shoes I've got in my rotation. Like I was saying to you guys before, I think it's almost like heading towards more of like the Glide Ride feels.
Yep.
A little bit firmer underfoot, a little bit more stable. But I think it will suit probably a broader population, particularly people that felt the original was a bit unstable. This is just going to feel better.
That's exactly me. That's like, you guys don't seem to have like outlier or more extreme mechanics like I do, that like I pronate quite heavily. So for me to cut out the concave walls of the midsole just used to crush down, and I used to just fall off the shoe, especially towards the back of the run when I'm more landing through my rear foot or going downhill. And I wear shoes out really quickly, so I felt that it got sloppy pretty quick. So I'm really looking forward to the new changes. I think it's going to mean that I can wear it more often, slower days, and I can just feel more stable in it.
Yeah. And I finally, after a year of owning them, I finally got to actually do a hard effort in the Alphafly and the Kipchoge version, for that matter, as well. And I haven't done anything besides strides. Yeah, once again, I think it's fair to note that you do strides in a shoe. It's different to doing a full workout in them. And we did like a 20-minute workout that was 4 minutes on, 2-minute jog, a couple of times around. And I was able to run with the juniors I coach and run at about the 310 to 320 pace. And that's my shoe, I think, for racing anything from 10K and above the Alphafly. Like, I think I hit the sweet spot off the pods. It feels relatively stable. Maybe the upper is probably a little bit more, you lose a bit of feeling on top of the midsole when you're going around a corner. But, the shoe felt really economical for me. I reckon I'm not in shape to run the 310, 320 pace already, but that shoe seems to just push me there a little bit quicker. So And for the first time in a while, woke up, didn't have sore calves in my first workout on the bitumen. So it's a really, really nice shoe. I know it doesn't work for everyone compared to the Vaporfly, but for me, that just felt like the money ball. So.
Have I told you guys that I finally got a pair?
I know.
You did tell us. I was surprised. I thought you must have won the lottery or something.
Yeah, I had to do it. Everyone was just poking me too much about it. So I'm not going to be able to try it out before Gold Coast. So I'll use the Vaporfly for Goldie, but maybe the next one.
Maybe the next one.
Give it a go.
And the last one I want to talk about, I've lucky enough to receive a pair of the Adios Pro 2 from Chris Chapman from the running company in Adelaide. And I was a lot of hype of this shoe. And I guess I can't be completely honest with it. I've only done 10 minutes of like moderate work in the shoe. The one thing worth noting is that it looks really good. It feels really good in the hands. It's meant to run off about 10 mil heel pitch, I believe. But when you place it on, it has large various attributes to the shoe. What I mean by that is, you know, how like the New Balance Rebel or the New Balance RC Elite 2 have like a large lateral flare on the shoe. This has like a slight medial flare on the shoe from the rear foot all the way through to the forefoot. And the first thing I noticed is that you sit quite, this camera's annoying, you sit quite various. So you're sort of at a slight tilt. So I felt more pressure under toe one and toe two from in the forefoot, and I felt like I was toeing off a little bit off the outside part of the foot, not straight through the big toe because of it. And I've had a couple of ankle sprains in my time, and I think maybe I've got a bit of a laxer ankle. So whether it was just exposed more on me, the grip, the outsole, and felt fantastic when it was on the bitumen. But the rocker is really late in that shoe. I reckon the rocker is as late and pronounced as the Metaspeed Sky, maybe more, because the shoe is probably a bit firmer through the midsole. So it's extremely stiff. So I need to try it out for a longer workout to get, but it did feel quite polarized compared to the feeling of the Alphafly, I must say. So not sure who it potentially works for, maybe a foot that is a bit more pronated, someone who you don't want them to fall into valgus too much. But it is a unique design. Being concave on the lateral side and having a medial flare makes it like a, you know, 2 points to make it feel very inverted.
Yeah. So yeah, go, mate.
Sorry. I'll just ask you what shoe it compares most to, what super shoe you would compare it to. Because the question here, a lot of people love comparisons. So softer or firmer than Vaporfly, faster or slower than the other shoes in the range?
I personally found it, if you walk in it in the rear foot, it feels soft, but when you run in it, you don't normally hit that part of the shoe quite as much of pace, I find. So it felt much firmer than the Vaporfly foam, than the PBAX. It feels much firmer. It still feels firmer than the ASICS Metaspeed Sky as well, which, you know, I think feels firmer than the firmer and more stable than the Vaporfly as well. So I think the rocker is comparative to the Metaspeed Sky, just purely because it's quite late in the shoe. But that various attribute of going into the shoe is what makes it feel a bit more foreign to me. It's nothing comparative I've had in a racing shoe. I know Adidas historically, when they used to put their Supernova mileage range, they always sort of had various attributes using that. Remember that triplanar pod at the back of the rear foot? You know, when they had it has that sort of feel to it, but going all the way through to the forefoot. I reckon if it was in the rear foot and they kept the forefoot, like, you know, more perpendicular, I reckon the shoe would probably work better for more population. But you know how, like, people run and they hit the ground at that sort of various angle? It accommodates the entry into the ground pretty well for that sort of gait, I reckon. So, but I can't compare it to the first model. I'm assuming it's as close to the first model as possible, but that didn't really hit the shores of Australia that well, in mass anyway, so I've never got to try the first model.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so people that pronate heavily.
Potentially, yes. Well, I don't fall out the lateral part of a shoe very often, and funnily enough, standing in the shoe and running in it, I felt like I was falling off the midsole laterally in the forefoot.
What do you reckon about the energy rods? Do you feel like they feel different to a carbon plate or same?
Yeah.
Same
sort of thing? I think it's confounded by the midsole feeling firmer. It's really hard to tell. Like, I would say the rods feel firmer, but maybe the light strike foam is just firmer. So it's tough to separate them. I mean, the shoe feels stiff, right? So When I did laps on the grass in it just to try it out, it just felt far too stiff and firm for that environment, whereas I think I can sort of put on a, you know, really soft foam and still feel, you know, quite some return of energy on the grass. This one here, I couldn't do it. It needed the road, for one, for grip, but two, to try and compress that foam as much as I could.
Yeah.
All right, Tommy, I'll just do my week quickly because, or my month, because our listener question kind of comes off your answer as well. So, yeah, the shoes that I've been running in haven't changed because I've still been away since our last episode. I haven't had any new ones sent up here. So for me, just coming off the Achilles niggle, found that shoes that with a, what I've noticed is those shoes with a less aggressive heel cup have been a lot nicer, because, like, after all the dramas, we sort of found out that it was more sheath inflammation of the Achilles. Nidra, you had it right from the very start. After we did all the all the scanning and all the diagnosis, you actually nailed it. But if I've got a heel cup pressing on the tendon, it was actually aggravating a little bit. So the New Balance More V3 is still the best heel cup out of anything for that Achilles. I love it. It sort of peels away like an elf kind of heel. It's also a little bit broader back there. So that's been really nice. And this is a weird one. I've been in the gym a bit. So doing weights and being on the elliptical trainer. Now, you would think it doesn't really matter what shoes you need on the elliptical, but when you start sweating, they get really slippery on the paddle. So it helps to have shoes with good grip. The best shoe so far has been the Adidas Boston with the Continental rubber on the outer sole. Gives you the best grip on the elliptical paddle.
You must be very tall on the elliptical walker in a pair of Bostons.
I was thinking I should one day whip out the Alpha Fly and do an elliptical session, see if it improves my performance or not. But, yeah, no, I've just been rolling around in the Invincible as well, the Nike Invincible, because there's so much concrete in Queensland. The Invincible feels amazing up here. Just gets a little unstable after a while for me. Like everyday shoes, just a little bit wobbly underfoot, which is where the More comes in. Probably similar softness, just a lot more stable.
And just so on the Invincible, I've been wearing the Invincible more than any other shoe right now for volume, and I've been wearing it on trails, on bitumen, and maybe, just maybe, that's why the Adidas Pro felt so firm as well, because I've been running in that shoe so often, every other shoe started to feel a little bit too firm for me. So, but that, without a doubt, with the surface area of it, I don't find the shoe completely unstable, even on the trails. So it does work, and I have enjoyed that shoe more than any other volume shoe I have in the past decade, I'd say.
What? More than Epic React?
Pardon?
More than Epic React?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Liking the fun.
Oh, there you go. All right, Tommy. So if you were going to go on a training trip and you could only take three shoes, which you have done, what are the three shoes you're taking?
So I've got the I brought with me the Structure 23s. The more I wear these, the more I do really feel like they are what I want a Pegasus to be. They're pretty well cushioned, they're pretty stable, and they got like a real nice plush upper. So it's just like a workhorse shoe. It's just nothing special, nothing fancy. You don't get the Invincible crazy softness. It's kind of like moderately cushioned, but like stable and without being rigid or slappy.
Do you have them with you to show us?
Yeah. So these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
May I ask Julian quickly, are they easy to sell in store, the Structure?
Yeah, they're very easy. Because they're so stable and they're really cushioned and they fit a lot of feet and they're $200. That's the dream shoe. Yeah. A shoe that feels good, is stable, soft enough, broad enough, and isn't going to break the bank. Like, you were right, Tommy. That's a Pegasus. That's what it should be.
And there's no, like, crazy geometry. It's, like, pretty just stock standard, traditional geometry. no like big cutaways or anything that makes it feel like overcorrected laterally or anything either. So like I was coming off the back of as well off some plantar fascia pain, so I wanted a relatively stable shoe. Like I could have brought Invincibles, but they're just not as stable. So I reckon I would have been at risk there of just pissing off my Achilles or my plantar fascia with it.
What sort of mileage do you reckon you'll get from the structure?
I reckon pretty good. Like, it's literally just the only shoe I've got here. I'm like walking around in it when I'm not running in it. So it's getting pounded. And I hate doing that. I hate walking in my running shoes that I'm actually currently running in.
That's not
probably
cool.
Something to do with the foam not being like marshmallow soft, so it doesn't feel like it's ever bottoming out. And also the Zoom Air unit, I think, you know, obviously that's one element of the cushioning that doesn't really wear out. So it always feels like there's that element of the cushioning that's in the shoe that doesn't change from the start of the run to the end of the run, or even at the end of the day when I've been walking in it all day. I reckon it's going to be like real durable.
Good.
Even though it's not like React foam, it's just EVA. It just feels like it's going to be pretty durable, sort of. Probably get at least, I don't know, I'll probably get at least 700K out of it, I reckon.
Nice. All right, so that's your easy shoe.
So easy, long run, everything that's not a session. So I decided to bring up the Metaspeed Sky for sessions just because I'm actually really enjoying that shoe and just saving the, so the third shoe I brought is the Vaporfly for race day. So I'm not actually using that shoe till Goldie. But yeah, the Metaspeed Sky. So I've done quite a few sessions in it now. Perception hasn't changed that much. Like probably from the beginning, it felt pretty good. Like I thought it was a pretty close competitor to the Vaporfly. Yeah, like you're saying, knitted, not quite as soft. Yeah. So I actually prefer it. Like I see it as maybe, for me, if I was going to use it as a racing shoe, probably shorter distances, like 10K road. Because it does feel like you want to get up on the forefoot more on it. Like, there's a lot of forefoot cushioning in it. It's obviously the lower drop than the Vaporfly, so it's almost like it wants to get you up on the forefoot. It does have a lot of forefoot cush. So the sort of sessions I've been doing in them have been in the taper now have been shorter anyway. I haven't done a long marathon session in it, just the shorter sort of closer to threshold or VO2 max sort of pace. So...
Have you added a heel pitch to it as well? Or
Yeah. So I got 9mm heel lift in it. Yeah.
Nine mil in that as well.
9mm. I have to, otherwise it does crank too much load in my Achilles. So That's the little heel wedge.
Show us your heel wedge, because I see you put multiform on top of that.
What's that?
Show us the heel pitch up close. I see you put multiform on it as well.
A little soft. A little bit of cushion on my heel lift. So this goes onto the top. It's a bit softer. Yeah, it's like a real soft EVA that I glued on top of the wedge, which is like a medium density EVA. So for the fat pad, it likes a little bit of that extra softness. But you can see, like, it's, like the forefoot compared to the rear foot, it's just, so I just chuck that. Oh, geez, what am I doing? Chuck that in there. Brings it up. I wore it for a track session as well. So I've done all road except one track that was on a synthetic track up here in Cairns, and it felt real good. Like, it felt good on the track.
I have word from Clarky that it looked really good. You were making 250s look really, really good.
I love that pump up. it did feel good. Probably felt better on the track, because I've done some track sessions and races in the Vaporflies, and I honestly kind of felt at that pace it felt better. Just poppier and I would have wore Dragonflies maybe if I had them, but this is a does it
why would you wear spikes when you're only like why would you wear spikes 10 days out from a marathon?
I know.
Preparing for next year's track season.
I know.
That's a terrible decision.
I know. I agree with you. I know. I just love the feeling of them. Yeah.
You've taken three up on your training trip. One of them's a training shoe. which you mean you're running sort of, what, 150K a week, 160?
So you're cutting out there a bit, Jules, are you? No. Is that me?
Yeah, 150, 60.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Getting one shoe for that, and then what's your third shoe? Because you've already busted out the super shoe. Surely you haven't taken two racing shoes up.
Yeah, so the third is just the Vaporfly for race day. That's it. I think you're frozen again, mate.
And you won't touch the third one.
What's that?
You've only taken two shoes up, really.
Yeah, pretty much. Just hand luggage, mate. I was just trying to pack light. Made the call last minute. Just threw them in.
Hand luggage
with your choices.
Hostel. This is how the favourite for the Gold Coast Marathon lives right now.
I'll settle down.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed.
Oh, yeah, I'm moving into the QT. Can't wait.
Living the dream. So, Joel.
Yeah. All right, so you've got to pick the shoe then.
What three shoes, if you could take? Same trip, what would you do?
Same trip, all right. Alpha Fly, that's my race shoe, session shoe. It's good for my legs. I prefer it over nearly every other super shoe. So I've got Alpha. Second shoe would be Invincible. Love it on the concrete. Super spongy, fun shoe. And I think the third shoe would be the New Balance More right now, maximal shoe, just a real easy day, like cruiser. So that's pretty easy for me.
So much foam.
Yep. I reckon I'd take the Invincible. That's why
All foam. All foam.
Invincible is a workhorse. I'd probably take the Endorphin Pro from Saucony as my session shoe. I still think it's a little bit more versatile for me in terms of I like the slightly firmer feeling for a session if it's going to be slightly shorter, but it's soft enough for a longer run as well if I need to pick up the pace. I still prefer it a little bit over the ASICS at this point in time, but I haven't worn the ASICS enough. That's my job this week, is to try and do a couple of sessions with that. And I'd race in the Alpha Fly now, I think. I've only done one workout for 21 minutes, but I'm pretty well convinced perceptually that was the shoe that I'd wear for a race.
Cool.
Nice. You're on board.
Absolutely. So, which I, you know, it's been a while. I've had that shoe sitting there for a long time, and I was a bit cynical of it. Like, I didn't think, you know, Tommy's words were, I don't think I'm going to get a pair because I don't think I'll be a responder.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced. I'm going to hold the comment.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, another question we had from a listener who was actually at the clinic for here. He had a question on sort of using orthotic therapy in different shoe geometries and whether they still remain to be placed into neutral shoes only. And I thought this would be a good question for both Julian and Tom, because you would probably get most of your referrals from podiatrists more than likely, Julian. And Tom, you are a podiatrist, so to answer that, and that, the follow-on question is also in relation to racing shoes and the use of orthoses as well. You know, are they useful? Are they worth doing? And if they are, do some race shoe geometries work better than others?
You go.
Interesting. So, yeah, I guess back when I started working in shoes, there was a real, real differential between a neutral shoe and a support shoe. So the neutral shoe was obviously the same density the whole way around. There wasn't soft crash pads. The foams were all quite firm. So they were all pretty stable, I guess. And the support shoes were all very strong. So you would have a very hard medial posting. So, like, off the top of my head, I'm thinking shoes like Brooks Adrenaline, Kayano, shoes like the Trance and the Mizuno, Nirvana, basically shoes like that had a really strong wedge. So it put you at risk of overcorrection if you didn't require that support. Because we used to see shoes coming in the clinic. You would see shoes coming in the clinic. We saw them coming in the store where the shoe had been smashed laterally, and they would come in and they were just sitting on the outside of their feet. And then you would pull out their inner sole, and it turns out it was an orthotic, and the orthotic had almost been, well, it had been pushing them laterally in the shoe and directing all the load onto the outside of the shoe. The medial post will never wear out. It's just too dense to ever wear out or compress. And the soft foam on the lateral side of the shoe in a support shoe would compress at a much quicker rate. And so you're getting two sort of factors that mean the outside crushes before the inside. So we would use neutral shoes then, and because of the firmness of the foams, you would get a better rate of wear, and the foot would be in a more stable position, depending on how strong the orthotic is and depending on the mechanics of the wearer. So we're assuming the orthotic is an orthotic that works, I guess, I'm not sure how you podiatrists put it, but almost works to correct the foot back into a position that we would consider neutral, where it would guide the foot from strong or heavy eversion back up to a more neutral position if you took footage from a frontal plane where they were toeing off without it being in a position of sort of pronation or supination. Now, not all orthotics are like that. So occasionally we would see orthotic come in that was very, very strong, and no matter, even if you put them in a neutral shoe, it would still put them in that varus position, like you were saying about the Adios Pro knitter. It would sort of push them out. Even in the most stable neutral shoe, they were still getting almost forced into position of supination. So you would always struggle with that, because their shoes would always wear out and they would always feel quite unstable in it, but it wasn't a footwear thing, it was an orthotic thing. These days, the way that the shoes are made, it's very rare that we see overcorrection from the support shoes. So if you look at the ASICS support shoes, the dual density post is quite fine. If you cut the shoe open, the posting is only like, I'm not sure exactly how far, but it's only a slither of posting on the medial side. So what they kind of, how they kind of talk about it is the support's there if you need it late in a run, if your form breaks down, if you start to have more of a rear foot strike, that's, and you start pronating more, that's when you actually use a little bit more of that firmness, and the shoe, as it degrades, keeps a bit more rigidity to it. So that's not going to put someone in a position of overcorrection like it used to, when the posts were a lot stronger and thicker and ran into the shoe more. So these days, we're not as worried about putting orthotics in support shoes. We still normally start with a neutral shoe to get a gauge on how strong the orthotic is. We might take some footage of the customer running in the neutral shoe. If it looks like we could do with a little more strength, then we'll use a little bit more support from a shoe. If none of the neutral shoes fit the orthotic or accommodate it too well, then we'll move into support shoes to provide a few more options as well, because a lot of the time the support shoe might be a little bit wider through the midfoot, have a little bit more depth through the toe box as well. So if the shoe is more comfortable for the wearer, we're going to get a better result regardless of if it's neutral or support.
Yeah, that's nailed that basically. I mean, that's what I've been saying as well. The categories are changing, or not the categories, but all the categories are, they're sort of, it's getting a bit blurry, the lines between stability and neutral, aren't they?
I think it's not simple. A bit of an example was, like, I talked about that sort of the new GT 2000 that's going to be released, and a common stable neutral shoe that's probably being sold in specialty retail from the ASICS has been the Gel Pursuit. And I would look at this GT 2000, the Pursuit, and if I put a shank dependent or non shank dependent orthosis in this shoe, the platform is arguably very similar. And I wouldn't think you'd see a huge influence on the shoe, on the orthosis between those two. Yet categorically, they're slightly different, but because the categories have become a bit more close, I would say there's not much difference between them anymore. The only reason I would send someone into a GT 2000 now is because the flight foam is probably a bit softer and more enjoyable. If someone's a bit heavier, maybe going into the Pursuit, because the foam is probably denser and you'll get more durability out of it. And that would be something as simple as that.
Yeah. And nowadays we're seeing shoes that might not be orthotic friendly. So you could imagine some of those super soft shoes like a Nimbus Light or a New Balance 1080 or an Invincible. And if we're using a strong orthotic that shifts load pretty dramatically into that super soft foam, it becomes very unstable underneath. And you might find yourself falling off the shoe really easily. A lot of the knits, the uppers these days, are a lot more flexible. And again, if you're pushing someone laterally and there's like a very loose knit on top, then the foot might not be contained well enough on top of the midsole. So we have to consider the strength of the uppers now as well, and also the depth of the shoes. So sometimes we're getting shoes that come in, again, the 1080 is a good example, where it's not a tongue, it's just a booty design. And so you put an orthotic in and you don't have much flexibility above the top of the foot because there's no tongue that can go up or down. And a lot of people find like too much pressure if they're using a device in that shoe.
And that 1080 is a great example. I mean, even the heel counter itself, while it's contoured and shaped away, as you said before, like the New Balance More 3, there's not as much space in that heel counter as you think. When you add a posting with an orthosis with a bit of a heel pitch to it, you know, you're a long way off the ground at that point in time because it's got a fairly high pitch at the rear anyway. And the room for error, the sliding and the comfort of the upper and the orthosis is sometimes, well, there's too much complexity going on there. That's why the 880 became such a solid shoe to accommodate an orthosis. Yep. There's more volume in the shoe. It was more simplistic. The rocker wasn't as pronounced and the upper would keep you just, you know, compact. So what the orthosis was probably doing is probably what it was designed to. Whereas you imagine you're lifting someone up on top of a higher platform, you're shifting, you're higher up the ground, there's more moment arm influence. So if something's slightly inverted, it might become largely inverted than what you expected it to be.
Yeah, good. So Tommy, just how, like, obviously send them down to the running company Ballarat, but if they can't make it there, how do you guide someone into the right shoe for their device? Like, what cues do you want them to feel when they put their orthotic in? How should they feel? Do you want them to feel their orthotic, or do you want it to feel like it's part of the shoe? How is it? What cues do you give?
A lot of orthotics that I'm doing pre-made. So they're coming to the clinic with an injury, and on the spot, and anyone that's coming with a running injury, I encourage them to bring in their running shoes, not just one pair. Like if they've got multiple pairs, bring them in. So they bring their rotation, often a bag with quite a few. And often I'm just using a foam. So these are called shank dependent. They're just foam. They rest on the contours of the shoe. And I'll adjust it according to their injury. So if they've got a particular site that needs offloading, I'll wedge it wherever I need to wedge it. It may be tilted. Maybe sometimes it's actually trying to pronate the foot more to offload a structure, as opposed to the stock standard anti-pronatory ones. But I'll put it in the shoes, and essentially, if it's a painful condition, I almost want them to feel like it's deloading and reducing pain, reducing their symptoms in the clinic straight away. So I know we're heading in the right direction. The classic one would be like plantar heel pain. What I tell them is I expect them to feel more pressure through the arch. And what that'll do is actually then unload the plantar heel pressure where they're having their plantar heel pain. And, you know, that's probably a good outcome, is pushing some of the load elsewhere while still being relatively comfortable. So it's a bit of a, you know, they may not know, they're like, yeah, I feel the pressure there, but, you know, until they go away and start running in it, they won't probably fully know whether it's going to be a 100% comfortable device, despite the fact that it's offloading something painful. And that's where reviews are super important. So if someone's not getting used to a device, I just get them to come back in, we chat about what it is, adjust it, and refit. And in that scenario, you know, once their pain subsides, their injury sort of improving with whatever other rehab we have in place, they will probably just go back to their standard insole after that point in time. So then they can, I just get them to basically pop their orthotic in the cupboard for when and if they need it again. If a similar injury props up, the same injury, they can use it again. So that's, yeah, you know, but when it comes to someone that's an orthotic user and it's like long-term thing, they just got to go into the store and try the device. If they've been using it for a while, they kind of know what it's, what they're used to, what it feels like. And so when they put it into a new shoe, it shouldn't feel all of a sudden dramatically different. So if they're normally in, for example, like the New Balance 880, that's a traditional sort of roomy shoe that accommodates an orthotic, and they go put it in a Infinity or an Invincible, which has like a very like rounded base, and it's sort of it's even got its own sort of like arch support system. It's got that plastic clip. If they're using like a foam orthotic in that, the arch height is going to be totally different in the orthotic to what the arch height was in a different shoe. Or if it's a traditional plastic device with a flat heel post, that flat heel post is going to be like cutting into the foam, because the foam's like curved and it's got the lowest point center, and then it starts curving straight away. So that post is going to start cutting in. So they've got to go try the orthotic. They've got to go see someone. I'm giving you a plug here. I don't want to, but like yourself, that knows that stuff. They're like, whoa, you've got this sort of device. It's probably don't even bother trying. If this is the device that you need to use and it's worked for you in the past, we've got to try a different shoe off the bat. We can't try this shoe. Or if you want this shoe, go chat to your podiatrist. Do you still need this orthotic, or do you not need the orthotic? Like, not enough people review with their podiatrist. Like, I send out reviews. I still don't get, like, some people don't come back and review with me, and I'm like, you need to review, because you may not need the device, or you may need a different device. You may need less corrective, you may need more corrective, or not at all. It's like, it's an evolving thing. It's not just like, here's an orthotic, use this for 5-10 years, because your mechanics are this and they're always going to be this. It's not that simple.
You touched on it before. You're using it like a shoe to, you know, like anything, as well as to try and deload a tissue and get them to keep running, aren't you? And, you know, once that tissue heals, a lot of the time you should be gravitating back to, you know, what was happening before you were getting injured. You should be able to sustain running without it, hopefully. And there aren't too many cases where you need them long term as well. Like, I find, you know, 2020 to 21, we've had heaps of stiff rocker-soled forefoot shoes. So people who've had big toe pain and plantar plate injuries under the second, third capsules, you could just modify the sock liner, put a U-pad there, and put them into the stiff rocker-soled shoe, and that usually is enough to offload. You'd argue that's the most orthomechanical or orthotic-like treatment these days, whereas we didn't have those options as much maybe, you know, a decade ago. So, and, you know, like you mentioned, is that if you've got people who have shank-dependent orthotics, the foam ones and non-shank ones, that they're highly influenced by the shapes and contours within the shoe as well. And every now and then shoes change. You know, I remember the Dyad used to be like the most stable shoe. And I would argue now that you put a posted orthosis, it does invert a little bit more now. People do come back in and that shoe is not, you know, maybe it's a bit softer without an orthosis than what it used to be. And then you put an orthosis in, it can gravitate. And you don't want people perceptually feeling like they're falling out of the shoe. That's not comfortable for anyone. So, you know, you almost err on the side of caution where you're a bit less orthotic because we've got a bit more shoe a lot of the time.
So what do you reckon, Nitta, about the orthotic racing shoe?
It's a tough one. Like, I mean, the whole idea of racing is to be economical, isn't it? And so less shoe is normally better when it comes to weight. But we also know now that when you have a higher stack shoe with nice, soft, lightweight foams, that seems to be the performance that you're searching for from 5K onwards or 3K onwards. And if you put something mechanically in there and the shoe is quite compliant, the orthosis can slightly, well, probably more so influence how you hit the ground. If you hit the ground slightly inverse or inverted, it probably means you stay there for longer. It promotes it a bit more. I still have some people that wear traditional-based racing flats where I think orthoses fit into nice and they stiffen the shoe up to some extent through the rear foot and the forefoot, towards the forefoot. But there aren't many cases in right now where I would say you'd put an orthotic device into a high-stack racing flat with a benefit that is going to reduce a symptom and enhance your performance because of that. So I can't think of too many scenarios unless I'd be more inclined to modify the internal sock liner of a shoe more than likely if I need to do anything.
The problem, though, is not like, let's use Nike. They're the biggest race shoe out there. You can't take their inner sole out now.
Absolutely.
Oh, you can. You just glued in.
You can get them out, but they just don't like that, you know, seeing a $300 shoe, you just pulling their insole out in front of them. So.
Yeah. We often have people come in the store and want to use their orthotic in a race shoe that they might use once every 3 or 4 weeks. And I try, like, they're very attached to their devices, so they think that if they go for one run without their device, then the world's going to end and their foot's going to fall off. So it's hard to sort of convince them maybe not to worry as much if you're only using the shoe for one run every 3 or 4 weeks maybe. Maybe if they're using it 3 times a week, that's when you want to be worried, or that's when you can chat about it. But if you're using it once a month, maybe you could sort of get away without your device and you will enjoy the shoe a lot more. You'll enjoy the shoe so much more and it will fit better. Like putting a device in those race shoes with how narrow their lasts are and the heel cups, which are just almost non-existent. They're just like almost just bits of fabric now rather than any plastic or anything to hold the foot in. It's very rare to be able to fit a proper, like a strong device in a shoe like that. So, yeah.
It's definitely harder. Like I remember working with Jess Tringo before Glasgow, and we ended up Glasgow Com Games. We ended up putting like a really thin intrinsically posted carbon fiber plate that just contoured the shape of her foot. When she'd get to 30K, she was getting a lot of tibialis anterior and posterior symptoms, and that was just enough to deload during the marathon and racing. But keep in mind, she wasn't wearing a Metaspeed Sky back then. She was wearing like a Hyperspeed, and you know, there was a fair bit of volume in those shoes for how much little shoe they truly were. And so that probably made the shoe arguably more comfortable to some extent for her. That's why she was able to run better. But you know, maybe in a Metaspeed Sky now as well, there's so much substance that the properties of stiffness come within the midsole of the shoe. Maybe that's what can, you know, deload those tissues a little bit without having external support as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Reckon you nailed it, fellas.
Very good. Cool. So what's the plan? So just, Tommy, you've just got a nervous couple of days. I hope the world stays the same so you get an opportunity to show us what you're made of.
Yeah, I'm not, I'm trying to think about it too much. It's hard when I got, trying to keep myself busy, not overthinking things, because, I mean, the race could be called off at any point, even if there's a few more cases in Queensland, so... We'll see. I'll keep training like it's happening.
Absolutely.
When do you get up? When do you guys get up, Julian?
Thursday. We head down from Noosa.
Thursday.
Mm. And how's Elle feeling? She's enjoying her RC Elite 2s, and she's going to have a big – she had a really big workout on the weekend, so she's going to this half marathon a little bit just a week taper, a few-day taper, maybe, basically.
A week taper, 7 days between probably one of the biggest workouts you would ever do in a training block.
What was the workout?
It was 7K, 6K, 5K, 4K marathon effort with 2K, 1.5, 1K floats.
Awesome.
So it was a big workout. But when you're trying to fit races into a marathon block, you have to find spots for these workouts, and 7 days before the race is about as good as you'll get, even though you're probably not fully recovered by 7 days time after a workout like that. You've got to, like, there's one race that's a lot more important than the others in this block, and and that's the Olympics. So maybe the Gold Coast will suffer, but I don't think so. I think I think she'll be okay.
Yep, that's exciting. Yeah. And any new shoes coming up on the way? I'm interested to hear what Tommy says about the Alpha Fly when we speak to him next, if he gets an opportunity to wear them. So,
for sure, yeah. Well,
I need to run some trails when I get back. I got this pair of trail shoes from ASICS.
Oh, is that the new Tribuco, or is it?
I gave that to the wrong bloke.
Or was it the high stack?
It's called Fuji Light. It's not the high stack. It's a pretty nimble sort of feel. Shoe, it's kind of like a the density of the foam feels like a Nimbus Light. It's soft. It's like a road shoe with big trail lugs. It feels fun. I reckon it's gonna make me want to go on the trails. It's like a soft. Or I find the trail shoes too firm for the most part with that sort of stack height. So it's
Absolutely.
Find some trails maybe.
Cool. Yeah, very good. All right, well, I think that wraps it up for this episode. So best of luck, Tommy, this weekend, and also to Jules, who's coaching.
Thanks,
And good luck at the live podcast, if hopefully it all goes ahead.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Cool.
Yes.
See you next month.
All right, we'll do, guys.
All right, see you guys.
Bye.
See you. I was told as a young man, doesn't matter if you're white or black. Just show love to everyone you meet, doesn't matter if it don't come back. Under the